Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Okay, here's the deal. 8:07 o'clock.
Yeah!
It's time for 92.9 The Game Tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Turn up, bro. Like you say, just turn up and listen, you know?
That's the way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, the only thing I could think last night is I am a soft pushover and a sucker. That's all I could think last night. I mean, I'm dead serious. Welcome to the show here. John Fricke from the Northern Kia Studios with you. As you know, for the next 3 hours, it's you and I. We're going to talk. We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some Braves to talk about, some Falcons to talk about, college football to talk about. Did you know that it's only 10 days, 14 hours, and 59 minutes until college football? Not that I'm keeping count here. Oren Romaine is the technical director, executive producer, call screener, board operator, and semi co-host of the show. And Oren knows this for a fact because he's seen it before. I have a Oren, you can say yes. I've got a countdown app on my phone to the second.
It would be weird, John, if you didn't have the countdown app anymore, is the more accurate statement I need to make.
Yes, it would. It's just who I am. You know, it's just kind of how I roll here. And I'm just watching it tick away, going, hey, because I wake up the next morning, hey, we're that much closer. Because, I'll get back to the sucker and fool and all that kind of stuff in a moment. Just so that you know that we're all square. Obviously, I've been an Atlanta sports fan 50 years now. But when it comes to one particular sport, everybody in our industry has a sport that they like more than others. They're hoop heads. I worked with a lot of guys at CNN, Dan Patrick or Keith Olbermann, not dropping names, just telling you what they are. They're like serious baseball guys. They're like into the weeds of baseball. I like the Braves. And the baseball thing is like, okay, you know, I mean, I'm not watching a rando game between the Guardians and the, I don't know, pick a team, Diamondbacks. It's just, I'm not watching it, you know. It's like, yeah, I don't care. And once the Braves lost to the Phillies last year, yeah, I sort of checked out. Somebody told me the Rangers won the World Series. I guess, didn't watch. But college football is different, okay? It hit different for me. I am a massive college football fan, and it is my favorite sport above the NFL, above anything else. College football is it for me, so I am really excited about this season. We'll talk about that because I've got some good college football notes to kind of chew on to discuss with you at 404-726-0929. Now, way back in the day, when I was dating in Atlanta, you know, running around places like the Rusty Nail and Carlos McGee's and, you know, the Bearded Clam, Yeah, there was, it was a honky-tonk. It was off Briarcliff. And anyway, so back in those days when I'm bar hopping out there and meeting all the Chiquitas, you know, I'd be a soft touch. You know, I mean, I just would. I would date a girl. I really liked her. She could be mean to me all night. And I'd be like, what's with you? And then she'd kiss you at the end of the night. And you go, okay, I'll come back for more. That's what happened last night. I'm watching the Braves game, and it's like 0-0. I'm like, oh, my God, they're not going to score. They can't even hit. Oh, my God, this is disaster. But the other team wasn't hitting either. And I'm like, well, Chris Sale's pretty good. You know, pretty good fielder, too, that comebacker. And I was like, oh, this is going to – okay, I'm going to sit here and wait. Once it went to the extras, I'm going to wait for the disaster of extra innings. And then I'm going to go on the air tomorrow night and go, oh, my God. All right. No, it didn't happen. The Braves actually scored. And Rysel did a really good job, and hey, they won. And then I went to bed thinking, hey, maybe this is the. So I got up. I was like, maybe this is the start of something. Oh my God, really? Oh man, I can't do that to myself. I can't walk myself into maybe this is the start of something. I can't, can I? Or and I can't walk myself into, hey, you know what? Maybe they're really sorry, they didn't mean it, and everything can be kind of good now.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because I was going, yeah, good, yeah, big win. I'm like tweeting out, big win, you know, and it was.
Just last night was all about the rock bottom. Did that immediately just sort of reverse now? Are we at the unrocky top, so to speak?
Yeah, we're roaring. It's like rocket. It's like SpaceX straight up to that Starliner that's stuck up in space to rescue those two poor. Those two poor people have been up there for. They could be up there for like a year,
another 8 months. Yeah.
Oh my God. There's a movie to be.
I hope they're friendly.
Well, they better be because they're. Oh my God. Again, I would no. That would not happen. Well, it would. Well, your choices are limited, obviously, but
in terms of what? Oh.
You can't just walk away.
You're talking about limited in terms of activities you can do, yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, you got to have some fun. It's not like you're going out to, you know, you're not going down to the Outback and ordering, you know, or yeah, extra, you know, what's the thing they sell down
the
there?
Blooming
with
the onions?
Those things.
Oh, my goodness.
How do they have enough food?
That place is like stocked. It's always food, I guess. Because it's not
They must have food on food.
Yeah, it's not just. That place is like.
We can't go get them. We can't just go up there and get them.
Apparently not. We don't have a rocket ready to kind of. Well, let me rephrase
that. Russians can't do it.
There's somebody that has a rocket probably capable to do it right now. It's just a matter of us asking somebody to do it. But stubbornness, I guess.
I guess.
You have to ask for help.
Man. Yeah, I guess so. So I talked myself into it for a brief period of time last night by going to bed thinking, yeah, okay, this will be the turnaround. Yeah. And now tonight, I realized Charlie Morton's pitching. Now,
it's
I love you, Charlie.
Either or proposition, John.
But I'm beginning to think that, I think that if Charlie has another one of these outings tonight, because his fastball, it's
batting
not a fastball
right now.
Okay. If he has another one of these, I think the Braves are going to have to consider alternatives.
No, they can't, John.
To Charlie Morton.
They don't have any alternatives.
Bryce Elder, find something.
Oh, yeah, no, John, that's not an alternative.
Hurston Waldrop. I don't know.
That's also not an
Dylan
alternative.
Lee.
No,
I don't know.
It's not an alternative. Like,
start Jesse Chavez and do the bullpen thing.
No,
I have
John,
no idea.
Like, you don't. You just have to. You just have to pray on those days that Charlie Morton pitches that. The Braves can go out there and score 8 runs every time he goes out and pitches because Charlie might give up 5 early.
In the first 2 innings. Yeah, he just doesn't have it anymore. And so, well, okay, this is where we are. Now, the good news is Michael Harris is back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he will be starting tomorrow.
Batting 438, I think, down up there in the Gwinnett. So, just tearing the cover off the baseball, so maybe that'll translate to good things back here in Atlanta.
So, yeah, I guess it would be up there, wouldn't it?
It's north.
To orient my map there. Yeah, it would be north, right? Yeah, so it would be
technically
up there.
Technically, it's 85 okay. North, yeah.
North, yeah, no, you're right. So, Harris is back tomorrow. He'll be in the lineup. You know, they could put him at number nine, which is where I think they ought to put him. And the reason that I liked that Harris at number nine so much, and I know they moved him around the lineup, was because, and I made this case back when Acuna was leading off, is the only time that Ronald Acuna really led off was to begin the game. And then from that point on, Harris was the leadoff guy because he batted in front of Ronald Acuna.
It was kind of a twofold thing at that point, because Harris was – the one thing I worry about with Michael, why you can't put him directly at the top of the lineup, is he still doesn't draw enough walks. He's a big contact guy. So when you got a guy like that, it's tough to have that be your lineup setter. But I don't mind having that guy in front of a guy like Ronald Acuna or a guy like a Jorge Soler who can either work a count and get on base or, you know, get him over some sort of way.
Because as you know as well as I do, if Michael Harris is out there stealing bases, if he's really good to go here and he can swipe a few bases, you know, suddenly you get that pitcher looking over there and they're not so much, they make a mistake to Soler and that's two runs.
Hey, John, let me ask you a trivia question. Who currently leads the Braves right now in stolen bases?
Ronald Acuna.
Ronald Acuna does.
I can't think of anybody else.
It's Ronald Acuna.
He was leading when he left.
Yeah, he's still leading when he left.
Yeah. And Harris wouldn't have passed him because he'd been out. And 16 stolen bases.
16. Michael has 8. Ozzy has 8. But, yeah, 16 stolen bases for Ronald. He still leads the team.
Yeah, so Ronald still leaves in stolen bases. Zach Short still leaves in stolen money. So, I mean, that's probably not going to change either. All right. We have college football.
It should
have been an immediate DFA on the field, the manager, when the ball hit him in the head on the pop-up. Before, remember when he was over at the third base? Before he was ever throwing Marcus Mariota pop-up hand grenades from right field to short left field, they should have just run out of the field and grabbed him and said, "You're done."
Well, that's the thing.
Come with me, son. At this point,
who do you put out? Who else do you put out there?
I don't care. You.
Oh, no.
Warren, it doesn't matter.
I'm not embarrassing myself. Oh, yeah. You think if it looks bad for Zach Short, oh, boy, it's going to look worse for me.
I don't know. Put Fried out there. I mean, anything. You know, I mean, anybody. Max Fried is a better – all right, Max Fried is a better hitter than Zach Short.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I'll give you that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, is he a better, okay, better fielder
than
Zach Short at a position?
Better arm?
I don't know. That's a lot. That's a lot, John Freaky.
I'm just saying.
That's a lot.
I was just, I'm just trying to make a point here. Hope it went well. I've been sitting around all day too, hoping to, you know, get a little notification that I did not get from one Atlanta Falcons Flowery Branch. I was looking for a notification. Kept going here, ding my phone, and it didn't happen. Justin Simmons visiting and working out for the Falcons, and I kept hoping, you know, ding ding ding, we get that, because right now we're in that stage where, well, you know, he visited New Orleans, and the Swampers are down there claiming, you'd be better off signing with the Saints down here in New Orleans, you know. And I'm like, why? You know, well, because, you know, why? Again, you think you're better than the Falcons? But, I mean, the dude has a nose for the football. We know that. But he can also smell you, and he can smell what you're about to be. Because I don't think Saints fans wrap their – they haven't. As a matter of fact, I know this for a fact. Haven't wrapped their brain around the fact that they are $100 million over the cap next year. And if they start off in any kind of way poor, that team is going to be shredded. They've got to get a quarterback. They've got to move to a place where they're a top five pick. They got to say, Dennis, here's the deal. We need you to start losing a lot, because we got to get a new quarterback in here, because it ain't working. You know, so – because in my world, Carolina is ahead of where the Saints are. You know, if you look at the Saints and you look at Carolina and project out, who's got the better trend line? Well, it might be Carolina, because they went ahead and bit the bullet last year, and then they got the new coach this year, which, of course, Carolina needed. But, you know, New Orleans needs now. New Orleans hasn't wanted to admit it's, you know, they're like, you know, somebody with a gambling problem. They don't want to admit they have a gambling problem. And they gambled so much on you know, rolling all this money, as we talked about. Do you keep rolling the money? You know, hey, let's just extend those contracts out. Well, guess what? Next year it's going to catch up. Next year is the come to Jesus or come to the banker, Lehman Brothers or something moment, because they're going to be $100 million over the cap as of right now, starting moving into next year. So, yeah, they're going to have to do, because they're going to, okay, bye. Bye. Who are we keeping? Olave. We're keeping Olave. Yeah. Anybody else? Nah. We'll just keep him. They're going to have any money. Oh, my God. So, you know, and then there's, of course, this doesn't go as I bust on the Swampers. Our people are doing it, too. I don't know if you noticed this on the X today. We got our people saying stuff like, because I saw it, once, it's something one off. And without a retweet or a repost or whatever we call it now, I saw another post that said basically the same thing, where, hey, did you know that Justin Simmons follows Chris Lindstrom and Matt Ryan on the socials? Hey, that's a really good sign for us. I'm like, well, where did Chris Lindstrom play? Or where did Chris Lindstrom play college ball?
Boston College.
Where did Matt Ryan play college ball?
Boston College.
Where did Justin Simmons play college ball?
I'm going to take a wild guess here, John, and say Boston College.
Yeah. Oh, you'd be right. Of course. Guys, he's falling his Chestnut Hill bros, okay? So don't read too much into it, okay? They're all BC guys. Just don't read too much into it. That's all I'm saying. But I really wanted it, because if we can land Justin Simmons, because I know there's a lot of chatter about Hassan Reddick and other guys. I know that Bell's been talking about Judon for a month now. But in my world, as it stands right now, I think you get me Justin Simmons, and Jesse Bates on the back end, I will go ahead and dance with whatever we brung you at the edge position. Because remember, we weren't counting on Braylon Trice to start right away. Now, we had hoped that he would grow over the course of the year and become a player. Yeah. But he wasn't a... Hellams, on the other hand, we were looking at him going, well, if we can't get anybody else, he's got to start. Not only would Justin Simmons come in and be a starter, no offense, DeMarco, I'm not trying to... I hope you get better fast. He's an upgrade. You might have the best combination of safeties in the entire NFL. If you have Justin Simmons, Jesse Bates, I dare say that's the best combination. That's the best safety room in the NFL. So not only do you replace him, you upgrade it. Okay, I'll take my chances on that. I had a question that was thrown to me kind of offhandedly in a conversation that I had at Walmart. It's not about Walmart, it's about sports. And I'll throw that one out. It'll be our first question of the night. You can weigh in on anything you want to weigh in on. Just, if I don't know anything about it, which is a lot of things, I probably can't help you. But if you want to talk Hawks, Braves, Falcons, you want to talk NFL college football, do so. Yeah, you and me till 10 o'clock at 404-726-0929. Jeez. Look, boys and girls, moms and dads, I want to have a conversation with you. But, again, there are very few things that are going to get you cut off. Language is one of them, obviously, like just then. And another is, you know, if you're just going to be a Richard on top of it. I hate that the show started that way. I'm sorry. To the Hawks here, the fact of the matter is, look, I have no grand sense of, you know, anything this season. I hope it's going to be fun, whatever it turns out to be. It'll probably be ups and downs and frustrating and all that kind of stuff, but they have a good young nucleus, and so maybe it'll be fun to watch. And then maybe they'll get lucky again in the lottery next year or in the draft next year. You know, look, they've gotten fairly lucky in the draft over the last few years. I mean, Trae Young is a great player. You know, when you're by the end of this year, he will be third all-time in the history of the NBA in assists per game. Third all-time in the history of the NBA in assists per game. That's pretty good. I mean, don't you think? It's pretty good. Then, look, Jalen Johnson, you want to redraft Jalen Johnson? Oren, they redraft Jalen Johnson's draft. I have to go back and look who else was in it. Is he a top five pick? He might be. I'm just saying. Now, Reese Shea, I don't know. But there is something interesting that happened with Trae on a podcast. So Trae, and you may have heard the DeJounte Murray stuff, which Mike and Carl and Mike did. There was something else in that podcast that I asked Oren to pull. It's not that. It's something else. It was kind of, to me, a little bit of what I wanted to talk about tonight, kind of the angle I wanted to take, which is I think he gave a very honest assessment of the draft last year, and what, you know, the Hawks were the number one pick. Now, here's Trae Young talking about Alex Saar, what he saw, because remember, Trae's down there at Summer League, and Zachary Risacher, and everybody was getting on Trae for not talking enough about Zach. You know, he was taking in the Reed Shepherds and the Alex Saars and the Zachary Risachers, and so he was asked on Paul George's podcast about what he saw and how he evaluated this. Now, obviously, he's going to have a bias towards his own team, but I think he gave a very kind of honest answer here. And I think anybody, even somebody who kind of looks around and says, you know what, that's a pretty fair analysis, because I think it is. Oren, do we have that cut? All right. Hey, this is Trae Young talking about the recent draft and how he views it after seeing Summer League.
You heard about, like, you know what I mean? It was a group of guys in that 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I may be ignorant to it. Zach could have been in that list for a long time.
Yeah.
But to me, it was like out of the blue, his name, especially to come and be the first pick.
Yeah.
Like, nah. How do you see him fitting with what y'all doing in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, and no disrespect to the guys that got drafted, I mean, from the outlook looking in, and some guys may surprise us, but a lot of us look at them as role players coming in anyway. Nobody, mm-hmm. we didn't, like, the last mm-hmm. three number one picks. You got Victor, you got, like, Ant Edwards, you got mm-hmm. some big time names. None of these guys, whether it's Reed, who's going to be a hell of an NBA player, or Alex, who didn't play well in Summer League, but who's going to be a hell of an NBA player, but a lot of these guys could be just role players. And mm-hmm. so you're really just trying to, I feel like the GMs all this year are probably just trying to figure out who's going to be the best role player for their team. It's not like they're drafting somebody to be as good as Alex Saar is. I don't think he's going to be their franchise player going forward. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be a great, great player. Has a long NBA career, but just the outlook on any of these guys coming in, it wasn't like they were going to be Lucas, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Type guys, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Zions. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, right. I mean, so if you're looking at Reese Shea, you're saying, wait, so you're saying Reese Shea is not going to be a star in the NBA? You only got the best of the average? Well, maybe, but at least you got the best of the average. You know, wait, how come we had the number one pick and we didn't get a superstar? Well, you know, unfortunately, the good news is you got the number one pick. The bad news is the draft itself is okay? But that doesn't, again, I don't understand what Trey is saying, because he went on to say that, look, with his frame, Reese Shea plays at like 6'10". So we talk about the Hawks getting bigger. Suddenly you think about, you know, a three, and that's what he is, being kind of a 6'10 guy, kind of a swing 3-4, alongside Jaylen being kind of a swing guy. Suddenly that team's gotten a lot bigger. So I think that I look at the Hawks and think, well, I think they could be, you know, the young with Reese Shea and Jaylen and Trey, and let's not forget, Trey Young is still a young player. And so they're a young team. The core of their stars are young.
John, I'm sorry, John.
And
did he legit just call the number one player in this year's draft a role player?
Well, I don't know if he
I know the part after
sees anybody turning. Well, let's put it this way. What he's saying is there's no Wemby in the draft. There's no Zion, there's no Luka. Well, not that Luka. I mean, there's no, you know, there's no superstar. Nobody jumped off the page to him in summer and said, "Oh my God, this guy's going to take over the league."
That's there's so many different ways to go with that, John. Because on the one hand, if Reese Shea is moldable, it's up to your coaching staff to kind of come in and help this guy become a superstar. So it's just when Trey says that. Are you doubting Reese Shea's ability himself to be a superstar? Are you doubting the coaching staff and the developmental guys? Are you doubting their ability to help Reese Shea become a superstar? Or are you just flat out saying this guy is not good enough as it is?
No, hang on. I don't think that's not how I see it. I think what he's saying is, look, he plays, his frame is like a 6'10 guy. He can knock down threes, which is what he said. He's got to get stronger. You know, there's just no surefire thing. Unfortunately for the Hawks, there wasn't a runaway, oh my God, you have to have him Wemby in the draft. It just wasn't. And that's that tick next level up where you can see a guy and say, all right, dude is going to be a star. Now, we've seen this before where we said dude's going to be a star and he flamed out, but that's happened on certain occasions, a lot of times with injury, but nothing you can do about that. But for the most part, I think it's – I don't know what Reese Shea is going to eventually be 6-7 years from now, how much stronger he's going to get. Asking him to be – I don't need him to be a superstar.
John, he's got to be
good. I need him to be good.
He's got to be extremely above average, though, to be a number one pick. Like, you can't be a number one pick, John, and just be a role player. You can't do that.
I'm going to put it to you in these terms here. There's a difference between a number one pick at Magic City and a number one pick at, say, Johnny's, okay? I mean, you're number one of whatever you are. You know what I mean?
You are, but at the same time, John, if I'm going to Johnny's and I'm getting the number one pick, that better be the baddest number one pick in that building for that setting doing what it is. If you're taking Reese Shea in the NBA draft as the number one pick, then he needs to be the number one pick in the NBA. He can't come out
I think that's what they said. I know. Well, I mean, he didn't say role play. He said, I think he's going to be a star.
No, John, he talked about the guys that are picked in this year's draft are seen as role players. And he mentioned guys who he thinks are superstars and did not put Reese Shea in that class.
Yeah, he didn't. I guess when he says role players, he means they're going to be starters. They're going to be really good players. I don't see them. I don't see anybody
busting out.
DeAndre
Hunter is a role player, John.
Well, but that's by choice.
And we consider what
I mean. He could start for the team.
We consider DeAndre to be a disappointment here as a role player because he's not playing up to the draft position that he has. If Reese Shea is a role player here, John, I'm saying as a Hawks fan. I hear that. I hear Trey say that. it elicits so much the opposite of excitement, John, when I hear that. Like, if you're a franchise and you're trying to sell us on the fact that, A, you have the number one pick in the draft, and B, this guy Trey, who, by the way, may not be here in a couple years. Trey may opt out and do something else. He may go somewhere else. Like, if the idea is to sell me on this team being successful and winning, to A, keep Trey here, and to B, keep excitement here, that cut from Trey did absolutely none of that. None of that.
Well, no, again, but if you took the best player available in the draft, it's fortunately for the Hawks, it became best player available at the number one pick. You know, if you have like the number eight pick and you take the best player available, like the Falcons tend to do, then you're taking the best player that's on the board, right? I mean, you're not taking the number one pick, you're taking the best player on the board. That's kind of, I think, all right, let's put it to you this way. Let's say that there were another draft where Reese Hoshea would have been the number eight pick. Unfortunately for the Hawks, he just happened to be, there weren't the other seven guys this year. So he's the number eight pick. But then again, Jalen Johnson went later than that. Did you expect
Jalen was 20th?
Did you expect Jalen Johnson to blow in? I mean, do you not see what I see when we watch Jalen Johnson now, that we think, oh, this guy can be an NBA All-Star?
But you got to take that to what you have from the developmental staff and the coaching staff here, helping to kind of cultivate that and get that out of Jalen. What I hear from Trey talking about,
how about they do the same thing with Zach Attack?
But it doesn't sound like that's going to come based on what Trey says. From what Trey just said, his ceiling, Reese Shea's ceiling, is not going to be anywhere near what Jalen's is, and they were drafted 19 picks apart.
But that's not Reese Shea's fault that the draft itself was terrible.
It's not Reese Shea's fault, but whose fault is it then, John? Is it the organization's fault for taking Reese Shea at number one and expecting him to be better than average?
Oren, they took the best player in the draft. What did you want him to do? Not take the best player?
Not about taking the best player, John. It's the idea that if you're the Hawks front office, you're selling this guy the number one pick as, hey, this guy is going to be an integral part of what we do in the future going forward.
Well, he's going to start. Yes, he's going to start for you.
You're not touting him as a role player, though. From what Trey just said, this dude is going to be average.
Well, that's Trey. It's Trey's team, okay? It's his team. He's not deferring to anybody, okay? It's his team. And they cleared out the decks for it to be his team. So, I just thought it was kind of interesting what he said. Because to me, I heard this entirely differently than Oren did. To me, he was propping Zach Attack up, Reese Hoshea up, by saying, you know, those other guys, they're just kind of, they're good, but we took the best one of the bunch. And how good he becomes is going to be how good any of them becomes, up to them, stay injury free, get coached upright, get stronger. But Reese's tall, like Trey said, got a 6'10 frame, knock down shots, he can be a defensive stopper, attacks the basket. Look, I like what I see of him. Do I automatically look at him and say, oh, this guy's going to be a superstar? No, but that's a rare thing that I ever do that anyway. I did it with Wemby, okay? I watched Wemby and went, oh, okay. How many really? I don't know. I didn't do that with Ant-Man. Did you? I didn't. Sports Radio 90 time of the game.
AIM.
You know what? Oren's reaction to that soundbite was actually... It actually made me think about something because, you know, honest reaction, media reaction, fan reaction. I understand all these guys. And by the way, you have to qualify everything these days so that people understand that you're not shading them. But I understand why Trey would go on a podcast with his buddies. Sure. I mean, I go on podcasts with my buddies too. And so that makes perfect sense. And Trey does talk to the media, but it's becoming a little bit of a concern to me that more and more often, we used to have in this business athletes on the radio a lot, and they're getting to be less and less and less that want to come on the radio. And they are opting instead to go on podcasts that are friendly territory. Not that we would be unfriendly, but what Oren was saying, you know, we'd probably have to address that. Hey, Trey, are you saying that Reese Hoshea is a role player? It would be a lot more of a direct thing. There was no, in other words, it was, no, Paul George wasn't coming back at him, on this. You know, occasionally you'll see these podcasts, oh, wow, can't believe you said that. But they'll never follow with another question because that they want the guy to come back, and it's friendly territory, and it's just a bunch of guys sitting around talking, which is fine. Again, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that, you know, we in the media tend to ask kind of more probing questions. Look, if you don't want to take questions from the media, you're a wuss. I mean, you just are. Now, Trey does, don't get me wrong, but there are some players who don't. There's some people that don't want to take questions from the media. Those people are wussies. They're just scared of their own shadow. There's no reason you have to be. I would take, you want to ask me something, I'd be happy to. But I also understand that nowadays what happens, and this is the defense of that, is that you have to clear any interview you do through the club. That used to not be the case. Now they're like, you can't talk to the media unless we say it's okay. And that's like, oh, wow. You know, they control the flow of information. So, you know, I mean, they don't tell the media what to ask, but they put you in situations where they are going to be able to. Now, they can't keep us from giving our opinions, obviously. We will continue to do that. But, you know, in terms of being able to just have kind of those hard-hitting, I used to have a lot of hard-hitting, Junior Seau. Man, we had some fun ones. And I was a huge fan of Junior's, and we were friends, and God, I miss him. He's a great guy. So I was at Wally World, and I've been going to the same Wally World, Oren, for like, I don't know, 20 years or so, right? When you go to the same store, do you notice this, Oren? You go to the same store over and over and over again. You get to know the people that have been working there for years and years and years by on a first-name basis.
Okay, yes, that's true.
Okay, yeah, okay. So this one dude has been working at the Wally World I go to for a long, long time, like 20 years. I mean, he's a lifer and really good guy. And so he's talking to me about, you know, frustration with the Braves and where they headed with this. And I'm frustrated with the Falcons, where they headed with this. And I don't know what's going to happen in a couple of years. And so I'm going to paraphrase kind of our conversation here and ask you, Oren, a question. Because I was just thinking about what we were talking about. It is 2 years from today. It is August 13th, 2026. This goes to your Ricochet thing. It's 2 years from today, August 13th, 2026. Which of the four Atlanta Pro teams has the most upside between now and then? Hawks are young and talented. Braves are loaded with long-term stars. Falcons have new leadership, kind of a new attitude in Flowery. United is rebranding itself. They say they're going to get rid of this buy-sell, develop-sell thing and bring in longer-term players to get more cohesion on the team and players that fans can actually get behind. Which of the four pro teams has the most upside between now and 2 years from today?
This might surprise some people when I say this, but it's the Falcons. Because you shored up the single most important position on that football team or in professional football in general, so you don't miss a beat whenever Kirk Cousins is no longer here. Your big man, your big star in Atlanta for the Braves right now, Ronald Acuna, who knows what happens when he's coming off another ACL injury. He might not be the same player he was before. It could happen. It's a possibility. Matt Olson might not be the Matt Olson we saw last year. Sean Murphy might not be the same Sean Murphy that we saw. All the guys who put up great numbers last year might not be the same guys going forward. But with the Falcons, you have a core group now with, especially on offense, with Bijan and Kyle Pitts and Drake and Kirk for a couple of years and then pass the baton right on to Michael Penix. So there's a core group in place that's young enough that in a few years that they just sort of rise up, pun intended there, yes, and that's the next kind of crew up. I have less questions about the Falcons than I do about any other major sports team in Atlanta. Less questions about them.
You know, because 2 years from now, and the reason I picked 2 years from now, not only is it kind of a short horizon, but what Oren said, 2 years from now, Kirk Cousins could be gone, and Michael Penix could be the quarterback. 2 years from now, Trae Young could be gone if he opts out of his contract. 2 years from now. He's got 2 years left. He could be gone. 2 years from now, the Braves are going to look a lot different than they do now, because we were talking a little bit last night about transitionary periods. And I mentioned, one of the really bad Braves years was 1988, which was just awful. And they had all these stopgap old guys, but they had the core. That 1988 team won 54 games and lost 108. But on that team were players like Tom Glavine and John Smoltz and Dale Murphy and Mark Lemke. And, I mean, they had all these young rising stars that were just beginning. So I look at the Braves and think, man, there's going to be kind of an overhaul, especially in that pitching staff in the next couple of years, where 2 years from now, that pitching staff's not going to look anything like it looks today. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, they're going to need a new shortstop, a new left fielder. Drake Baldwin be the catcher by that point? Will Matt Olson still be on the team if he doesn't get it done? If he has another year like this, are the Braves going to consider? I mean, what are they going to do with that position?
Just,
I mean,
there's so many
Bill
questions.
Glover,
like,
in theory, so
we've seen the best from Michael Harris. We've also seen the not so great from Michael Harris. Like, you just don't know with the Braves where the middle of the road, the consistency sort of lies with them, because it's been a lot of highs and we're seeing the opposite now with the lows. And just who are those guys? Like I said, I have less questions about the Falcons than I do about the Braves, certainly than I do about the Hawks, because hell, in a few years you might be having to get that role player Richichet might have to be the lead dog on this team if Trey's not here.
Yeah, if he is, if he's better than Jalen Johnson, then you got something. Because I think the ceiling for Jalen Johnson hasn't been set yet. I think Jalen Johnson is as good as he wants to be. What if Jalen Johnson, the reason I remain excited about a little bit about the Hawks, about what they could be, what if Richichet is rookie of the year good? And what if Jalen Johnson in year three blows into a full-blown unstoppable force and Trey is then freed to, all of a sudden it could get fun? I'm not going to blow smoke up your skirt and give you flowers and candy and tell you, I'm just not. I'm just going to tell you that it could be a little bit fun. That's all. It could be fun to watch. I mean, I think some people automatically walk into the season going, oh, it's going to be doom and gloom. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I understand why recent history would tell you they're still a play-in team. But what if Richichet's rookie of the year and Jalen Johnson blows into a superstar, and Trey is allowed to be Trey again and unfettered, could they win 50 games? Yeah, maybe. Well, why not? Are they better? Would they be more fun to watch and better than some of the other teams around them in the East? Yeah, maybe. You never know, right? I mean, they have the opportunity. They have the ability. They just have to, grow into the roles. You're asking a lot of a young team. But it's a young team that's got a lot of talent around it. And if it all kind of happens together, look what happened in Phoenix the year that the Hawks are going to play Phoenix. They got all those great young talent out there, and eventually it just happened for them. DeAndre Ayton was the number one pick in the NBA draft. Not DeAndre Ayton, anything special? No, he's kind of a role player, right? Kind of a role player, I guess, right? How many number one picks have actually blown into full-blown superstars? That's a good question. Not that many. I mean, would you say it's fair, Oren, that Ant-Man's better than you? He's better than I expected he would be in the NBA.
Yeah, Paolo Banchero was 2022.
Okay,
last good player. Year we had Wimby. We got Wimby, who is Wimby is Wimby.
Yeah, he's going to be a star. Yeah,
Wimby's going to be a star. 2021. We had Kay Cunningham. If he played anywhere else in the league outside of Detroit, he'd be crazy recognized, but Kay Cunningham is well on his way to becoming a top-tier NBA talent. 2020, that was on Ant-Man and company, so Ant-Man is on his way to being a superstar. The last few years, last 4 or 5 years, yes, you've seen guys at the top of the draft. Zion, if Zion can stay healthy, we know what Zion is capable of doing. He's got superstar potential.
Stay away from the buffet. Right.
Stay away from the buffet there, yes. Then we get to Trey's year of 2018, and that was DeAndre Ayton was the top half of that draft. And that's the first one to come to recently that's not, quote-unquote, I guess, a true superstar.
Yeah, because there's three or four guys behind him that are better, including Trey.
Luka, Trey.
Yeah.
SGA.
SGA, right. So there you go. So I want to ask you about this, all of you at 447-260-9299. It's 2 years from today. Which of the four Atlanta sports teams do you think has the most upside? I'm just kind of curious. It could be cathartic for me in this time of turmoil. Cathartic for all you swampers. That is not an area north of Canada. Cathartic means it would be helpful. Okay. Vicky wants to jump in here real quick before the break. Hey, Vicky, what up?
Hey, I was just going to say that I'm the same way that you are about the Braves whenever they win. I just think this is the big turnaround, and I can't help myself, and it just keeps going and going like that. So Yeah. I hope that I don't get heartbroken, but I can't help it every time they win. I think this is the when they're going to turn around. And
you've mentioned that to me before, and you know, your lips to the baseball gods' ears, Vicky. Thanks for that. You know, I'm not saying that. I want to be clear because I said it at the beginning of the show. I was like, I got a little excited for the fact they won a game, and they, you know, Sale pitched great. Hey, look, Rysell was great. And they won a game against a team that I cannot stand. I do not like anything about San Francisco. God, I don't like the city. I don't like NoCal. I've got bitterness towards NoCal. That was born of the Giants and the 49ers being in the same division as the Falcons and the Braves for forever and a day. And then I spent a lot of my time in San Diego, and Southern California and Northern California hate each other. And it's sort of like Atlanta and New Orleans. All right, so that's you know, it's just the way it is. So now I'm not a Bay Area guy. I don't like Bay Area hates SoCal, and SoCal hates the Bay Area. All right, sort of again, sort of like Swampers and Falcons. All right, so I have that would be the second area of my You know, it was the Raiders and the Niners and the Giants. No. And the Golden State got good, and I'm like, yeah, no. People are all excited, and I'm like, no, not me. Sorry, not going there. So that, but that's just a personal thing. Yeah, you may feel entirely different. We had a great friend of ours who used to work here for a long time, Craig Carlos Valentino, Orin Newman, CCV. Great, great guy. He's a wonderful guy. And a huge, gigantic Golden State and San Francisco fan. Matter of fact, didn't he boot back there?
Yeah, he's back there now, married with a little baby boy. It was weird. He was a huge Golden State, like he's a Bay Area fan, but then he also is a huge fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which I always found weird.
Oh, that's right. He was a Bucks fan.
He was
right.
A huge Bucks fan.
It's a Bay thing. It's like a Bay thing, you know? Yeah, you got a Bay, I'll like you. That's right. I forgot he was a Bucks fan. All right, quick break, top of the hour. 404-726-0929. I got a ton of stuff here to get into. Updates on the Falcons, NFL quarterbacks, college football stuff that I want to get into with you. And we can get into all of that. And we will get into most of it. I there's no way I'm going to get into all this. I've got 7, 8. I got way too much. But I'll get into some of it. Really interesting stuff, too. But I kind of want to start with, and again, you're welcome to call in on any team you like. It's 2 years from today. Who's got the most upside? What are we talking about 2 years from today? Go, meant to use Mel, go Falcons. You know, I mean, is that what we're saying? On Sports Radio 99, the game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.